Good evening, church. So, this is a prayer week. We've been praying. There had been a lot of some prayer meetings. We had an amazing time today, this afternoon. I think after church, we're going to have a time of prayer. You can join us. There will be music. So, just one verse on prayers. Isaiah 65, verse 24. I love this verse because, Father, just thank you for prayers, God. Just lead us, God, in listening to you, God. And teach us how to approach you, God, and as we are. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. It shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. Just like an amazing authority we have. Amazing authority we have with God. You know. Before they call, I will answer. This is the expectation we have this week. You know, by way of testimony, I've been going to Salem, New Jersey. Salem County. And God has been and he will answer prayers and opening doors for us. And we started a Bible study. In my team, I have my wife, I have Cody Walker, but I also have you in prayers. You know, we can like before they even finish their prayers, God answers the prayer because it's in the will of God. We can use a lot of prayers. Not about timing, like how long I will be, but it's about, I think about it. I'm praying for the will of God to be advanced. And what is the highest will of God? That the gospel would be preached. The mind of God would be explained. You know? Like, that's why when we go to Salem, New Jersey, or Glen Burnie, or Owings Mill, or just different places, we have this authority from God. Because we are doing the will of God. We're not perfect experientially sometime, you know. And by way of confession, I don't really pray a lot, but I'm so glad I'm in a church like this where the Spirit is speaking to Pastor Schaller and the leaders and saying, you know what, let's have a prayer week. And now I'm being reminded, you know what, oh, prayer week. Now I can really pay attention to prayers. I can adapt it as like a lifestyle in my life. I can come to church and learn. That's why I'm so happy to be part of this church, because the mind of God has been explained. Now I'm like, I'm being not just convicted, but I'm actually glad. I was glad. I heard the voice and I came to church. And in the church, my leader, my pastor, is saying, let's have a week of prayers. The Spirit is speaking to us. So to make it short, just join us. Be led by the Spirit. It's a midweek. We're going to have a great time here. Pray for us in Salem, New Jersey. God is opening doors. We met this gentleman who said, I have a place for you. I have a church for you. You can just come, bring your people, and have a Bible study. And guess what? We've been doing it for 2-3 weeks, and they're watching us, you know, and they said, 2 weeks ago, they said to us, hey, by the way, we have a personage for you if you want to stay in Salem. Like, you just bring a team. So it's like, I'm like, God, like I said to Pastor Cannon, like, God, like, we're just having a conversation about it. God, slow down, God. You know, like, you know, like, where is this going? You know, like, I'm just learning. I'm just like, I'm not even like, I am what I am by the grace of God. Like, we hear that voice. You are what you are by his grace. And you have authority. And you can go. And you can have a Bible study. And you can preach and share and counsel people. I got an email last week from a pastor in Salem County. The people of New Jersey, the people of faith, they are doing some work. This guy emailed me, said, I wanted to join our prayer call. Pastors in Salem, New Jersey, they're having a prayer call. Every Wednesday, they're praying for their county. They're praying for their state. You know, and they said, you are someone from Baltimore. We would like you to join us in prayer. You know, so I have yet to make that phone call, but just pray for us. God is doing amazing things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we pray your Spirit would teach us as we gather, honoring your Son. We have one thing in our heart, and that's to honor your Son. That's to walk with him, know him. This is our treasure and our privilege in the presence of angels to honor the Son of God in our hearts, and that would be in our home. It would be in our, at the kitchen table, in the worst moment of our day, in the trial of our faith, we would relate to you and trust you and be slow to speak and wise and quick to hear. You would teach us to walk, not quenching your Spirit, but being filled with your Spirit. You would teach us to hunger, to, we will be drawn, you will draw us to yourself constantly, deeper, deeper. You said to Peter out on the lake when you were on the shore, go out deeper and cast your net on the right. And Peter said, but I've been doing it all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will do that. Yes, Lord. Many lessons to learn from your word, inspired by your Spirit and illuminated by the same Spirit that wrote the words, illuminated in our hearts and minds to change our life, our orientation in life, our purpose in life, our work in life, our faith in life. Bless this message now, please. And bless our country through the church, Lord, that the church would be on fire and send missionaries to other parts of the world, passionately, lovingly trained in learning to share the word of life. In Christ's name, amen. Wow, awesome. I would like to speak tonight about the Holy Spirit filling us. Yeah, I'd like to speak about praying in the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to speak about living in the Holy Spirit. So let's go to the Gospel of John 15, and the last verse of chapter 15. No, not exactly, 26, 15, 26. This is at the Last Supper. And Jesus is telling his disciples there's going to be a change. I'm going to leave. That's a huge change because they love Jesus and they have been guided by Jesus. They have been taught by Jesus. They have been helped by Jesus. They've been amazed by Jesus Christ. He has taught them. I would like to say, the word isn't there, but whispered, meaning intimate communication. They have been hanging on every word that he has said at different times. They have been misunderstood him, but he is their life. 3 years of living with the most incredible person you could ever imagine. His face talked to them. His eye, Psalm 32, he guides us by his eye. His body language, the spirit of Christ, the experiences were incredible. And to say, I'm leaving, is huge. Read verse 26 with me, please. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. What is the Holy Spirit going to do when he comes? He is going to be the same as Jesus, but without a body. He is going to be the same. We read that here in chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, he shall receive of mine, shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Verse 17, then said some of his disciples, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he says. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said, do you inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Wow, that's a good word. I will be crucified, the world will rejoice, but you will weep. But then a little while, 3 days, you will rejoice. You will see me. And then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And he will show you all things. That's the kind of life we are living now. We haven't seen Jesus. But are we filled with the Spirit? Are we guided by the Spirit? Are we corrected by the Spirit? Are we comforted by the Spirit? Are we hearing what the Spirit says? And is the Spirit the same as Jesus Christ? And of course, the answer is yes to all these things. That's why here we are, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, drinking the same Spirit. The Spirit ministers to us and leads us and guides us, and we are different. I was studying a little bit today about some heresies that are present in our world today, in the evangelical world, some heresies, some false teachings, and some categories of them. And I was thinking about how a believer can go off and be wrong. I was thinking about heretics through history, church history, and the root and fundamental character of a heretic is pride. The pride of man grieves the Holy Spirit, quenches the Spirit. The pride of man, he no longer has prayer, but he thinks a lot about himself. And then he may be gifted intellectually and may be gifted with his language and maybe with words and writing books, and he can get a crowd and he can influence people because he may have that ability, but he does not have the Holy Spirit doing the work. It's heresy. And it's in the world, and we're warned about it in the book of Jude. So that's kind of the provoking words for us tonight to help us understand the very important element of our new life. And it is the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. That's why I want to be corrected. I want to be corrected. I want to be humble. I need my sisters and brothers to kind of like help me in my life, that they, being filled with the Spirit, can correct me. Unknowingly, I see their shining face or their meek spirit or their humble attitude, and I kind of, in my heart, the Spirit speaks to my heart, and I say, that's beautiful. I want that. That's Jesus is there. Jesus is with the body. I want to be in the body. I want to be humble before God and be submitted to the brethren, Ephesians 5:22. So, Rob Bell, he's one name. Brian McLaren is another one. They are these emerging church philosophers and teachers, and getting young people and doing the whole programs and the ideology and the Eastern mysticism and many errors that come along with pride. Pride. That's the problem with us as men, is pride. And it grieves the Spirit. So are you and I walking in the Spirit? I would say, no, I am not all the time. I am not every day. I'm not. I don't see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I get corrected. And I admit it before God, and I say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Luke 11:13. How does somebody get burnt out? They go so long operating in the ministry in the flesh, and suddenly the pride of their performance, or the pride of their activity, or the pride of life that just is naturally residing in me kind of dominates in my soul. And I get corrected by being burned out. When I get burned out, I come back to that place. The psalmist said that God is my shepherd, and he will restore my soul. He will create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Charles Spurgeon said one of the greatest fears he had was that the Holy Spirit would leave him. Charles Spurgeon said, one of the greatest fears he had in life is that the Holy Spirit would leave him. But he doesn't mean leave him in terms of forsaking, but just there would be no power. There would be no ministry. There would be no life. There would not be the joy and the love. How do you get old? It says, Paul said, my outer body, my body is getting, how does it go? Is it deteriorating? Though my outer man is perishing, what did he say? My inner man is what? Renewed. Do you feel that? I believe you do. It's renewed. How often? Day by day. Can you imagine getting old and your inner man is renewed day by day? It's almost like you're getting better and better in the inner man and worse in the outer man. Outer man is deteriorating. And a lot of times in the world, they make much about the outer man deteriorating because they don't have anything on the inner man. And that's tragic. But for you and I, we have Jesus walking with us every day, guiding us every day, speaking to us every day. Can you imagine? Jesus every day. Now listen, this is amazing. Jesus leaves. They're there in Jerusalem for 10 days. They know that, they know Jesus left and everything, but it's kind of dead. But they're saying prayers. And they're waiting. They don't even know what they're waiting for. But they're waiting. And you know what happened. Let's turn there and read it. Acts chapter 2. It's almost like the Lord wanted this to be like a spiritual nuclear explosion and wanted us to read it. He is not fooling around. He is not fooling around. Our God is not fooling around. When he said, I'm going, but I'm promising you the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, and when he comes to you, he will show you all things. 1 John 2:20. We have an anointing from the anointing of the Holy One, who will show us, who will teach us all things. What an amazing promise that God is with us to teach us everything. Everything I need, everything I really need in life, everything. Well, here's another thought. Have you ever been maybe with a group of people and they have problems, maybe a couple of people, or they have problems, maybe, I don't know how to say this, maybe a family, maybe a group, maybe a team, a sports team, maybe a group of people at work. And you know what I say sometimes? These people need the Holy Spirit. This is so crazy. They fight with each other. They hate each other, argue with each other. There's no patience. They fight with each other. You put them together, they fight. They remember that funny story about Mark Twain said, what did he do? He put a cat and a dog and a goat together in a cage, and after a while they got to get along with each other. Then he put a Catholic and a Presbyterian and a Baptist in the cage, and within hours there was nothing left. Okay, I don't mean, I forget it. Forget it. Okay. Honestly, you know what people need? They need the filling of the Spirit. That's what I need. I don't need the psychology. I don't need a lot of talking. I don't need a lot of explanation. I don't need a lot of money. I don't need an education. I don't need a lot of this or a lot of that. I don't need a friend. I don't need to have go out and buy a new dog or something. You know what I need? The filling of the Spirit. I want Jesus to be close to me and intimate. And you say, but I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, here it comes. There came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. The jumbo 747, rushing, huge sound. I've understood it means that. A incredibly loud sound, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Do you know what the hardest part of the human body to control is? The tongue. If God can get a hold of the tongue, that's the power of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's another tongue. You have another tongue. You have another tongue. Has anybody in the last few months been swearing under your breath? Like I have? At different times? And I've said to myself, well, that's not the filling of the Spirit. What is that? Anger, frustration, human viewpoint, frustration with people, disappointment. What is that? That's just me. But is there a greater purpose and a greater power? Because I cannot change things. But if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, God will change things. You and I, how do we change this world? by being filled with Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit, and to pray in the Spirit, and to believe God for what He has said here in the Bible. This Bible takes on a new dimension through the Holy Spirit because He wrote it. This fellowship has an amazing capacity for God because God sent His Spirit into us to guide us and lead us always. Let me go back to my point about that groups of people. You sit with a precious husband-wife scenario. And maybe they're Christians. They may even go to this church. So they could go to any church. They're Christians. But oh, how mean they can be. How short-fused. How angry they can be. How easy it is to be judgmental. How easy to accuse each other. How easy it is to be selfish. And unless I realize, I come to the end where I realize I am the problem. I need God to walk with me closely so I can say Abba, Father, in Romans 8. And that God could teach me to pray in the Spirit. Wait on God. Hunger for God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, We are like newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word. We were at Fed Hill last night at a Bible study. Marty did a great job teaching, Marty Vieta at Federal Hill, and these young age believers there, and there's a hunger and a buzz. I love that buzz that happens with people that start searching and looking and asking questions, and the humility of somebody that is saying, you know, I've lived my life my way, but now I'm looking for something else. Is there something else? Yes, there is Christ, and He sends the Holy Spirit into you so that He can fill you with the Spirit and speak to you, and that Spirit will guide you in a new way, not in our own ways, but in a new way, like loving my wife, like honoring my husband, like caring for my children, like believing that there's a mission in life. So we desire this sincere milk of the word. And then go to the book of Jude, please. Let's go to 1 John 2, please. It's a great subject, isn't it? You might say, Pastor, I know I've been a Christian a long time. Even before you were born, I was a Christian. I know all that you're saying. And I say, they say, yeah, I know, but it's fresh. It's fresh. This is fresh. I want to hear it again. This is fresh. How many times have you eaten pizza? Maybe hundreds of times. But hey, I'm after 3 days of not eating, please, could I have a slice of pizza? It sounds great. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I don't know all things, but the unction does, for the unction is God. God knows all things. I don't know all things, but I have God in my spirit and in my heart. So now, how do we live? Can you imagine the disciples saying, Jesus is leaving. What are we going to be doing? What's going to happen? And then Pentecost comes. Everything changes. Jesus is here. And our hearts are burning. And we are walking in faith. And we're not afraid. We're not intimidated. We're not worried about life. We have Christ with us. We have the same guide, the same teacher, the same comforter, the same one that understands me, the same that one that was talking to me is now talking to me now. That He was talking to me in the flesh, but He sent the Holy Spirit, and He's talking to me now, early in the morning. Early in the morning. have an early morning and wait on God and just say, God, here I am. This is your day. What would you have me do? That's a scary prayer. I'm available. Would you direct my steps, order my steps? It says in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man to order his steps. It is not in man to order. I don't know where to go, what to do. It is not in man to order. And then it says, order my steps according to your word. And may we also say, order my steps according to your Holy Spirit leading. Romans chapter 8 says that. Isn't that good? Okay, let's finish this. Chapter 2, verse 27. But you, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. That means soulish man in the Greek, psychikos anthropos. This is a soulish man. I don't need a soulish man to teach me. I need a spiritual man to teach me. Why a spiritual man? Because the Holy Spirit will use him to teach me. Well, what will I learn if I receive from a spiritual man? Well, I will learn what the Spirit is saying in the Bible, for he wrote the Bible. And the Bible will become more understandable to me and more personal and more intimate. I will feel the Bible. It'll speak to me because the Spirit has feeling. The Spirit gives the mood. When a little girl was 12 years old and raised from the dead, I read that this morning, and it says that the girl died. She was 12 years old, and everybody's wailing and crying and everything, and they said to the father, your daughter is dead. Your daughter has died. Your daughter is dead. And I thought of all the people in the world that have heard those words. Your daughter is dead. Your son is dead. Your father is dead. Your mother is dead. How many have heard those words? So I got the feeling of it. I read the scripture, but I got the feeling of that. That's what I mean. The Spirit is our teacher. And then Jesus said, she's not dead, she sleeps. And then he takes the mother and father into the room with Peter, James, and John. And then he tells her, rise, talitha kum in the Aramaic, I think. He said those words, rise. And I just cried about it a little bit. Wow. So what do we have going on in our life? The Holy Spirit, that's what we have. What's going on in our country? Well, that is what it is. I understand it. What do we expect? What is happening? What does the Bible say about the end times? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we understand things. Like, it's okay because we have, like, something going on in our life ordained of God that transcends this troubled world. This world is in trouble because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. This world doesn't know Christ because they don't have the Holy. There isn't humility. They are not seeking him. They cannot find him. They do not have the Comforter. So therefore, there is so much trouble. But not for you and I mean, for us too, but this is what it says here, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things in his truth and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. What does that anointing do? It keeps me in him. I found my place. I got it. Jesus is here. God is here. I found it. I abide. I stay in my place. I have left it. He that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead, the proverb says. But when you find him and walk with him, you just come back. And you come back. Actually, I'm surprised of people that wander off and they never come back. They're not abiding, but they have the anointing, and the anointing is sent so they could abide, but they've quenched the Spirit. They're so occupied with their car, or their job, or their troubled marriage, or their hurt or wounded life of some kind. They're so troubled with their life that the word is choked out, the Holy Spirit is grieved and quenched, and they don't have any freedom, no joy, and no real usefulness because they are not being filled with the Spirit, and nor are their prayers prayed in the Spirit. I mean, I don't know that, but it's very possible. The minute this troubled person could see God in praying and just have a spirit of faith and humble themselves, you know, and then the blessing can come into the family because they have the Holy Spirit that will help them, and it can come in, and we can love and forgive and be quiet and patient and kind and prayerful and pray in the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:7, the husband and wife, when they pray together, their prayers are not hindered. They pray together in the Spirit. And God says, you can say to the angels, look at those two, the husband and wife, I can't believe it, quick, take a look at that. I'm joking. They're praying. When a church like this, when we pray in the Spirit, we can move mountains. When a church like this, we could change the country, we could change the lives of people, maybe not the country, but we can change the lives and hearts of people, which is greater, a soul converted, and heaven goes to party time in Luke 15. So that's the message. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we love the buzz of brothers and sisters loving each other. And that's happening here. And we say there's only reason for that to happen is your Holy Spirit. He is doing this work. We are thankful for it. And may we bring it home with us and help us cultivate that spiritual life. And maybe somebody at work, we can have an afternoon prayer with them, a lunchtime prayer maybe, or a moment of fellowship and edification in your Spirit. And then little groups can, two people could become three or five. Years ago, I did a Bible study at the Social Security building at Social Security Boulevard back in the I think 88 or 89, at lunchtime. And Pastor Love has done it at Hopkins. And just, would you please teach us, and no matter how wrong we have been, may we humble ourselves before you and be restored and filled and lighthearted and filled with joy and peace and wisdom and love, God, because this is how we stay together as a family and greatly glorify our Father who sent Jesus into this world for this. Lord, we pray for all the American churches, churches in Latin America. We pray, Father, for all the many in Africa, the Europeans, Lord, Russians, the Greater Grace people in India, Pakistan, the Far East, in Japan, and Philippines, Dan Dunbar, Korea. Lord, and for our Bible college, and for what you would have each of us do in the future, that we would be very, very willing to be self-sacrificial because of the cross and give up our lives at the cross and be spirit-filled and say, nothing matters more to me than to follow you, because it's not in me to order my steps. But show me the old pathway. Lead me in that pathway of fruitfulness. Yes, Lord. Then with our friends, would you restore relationships with friends and with love and forgiveness, and restore any broken heart here tonight, anybody drifting off, and be really willing in your heart to stand before God and get things straightened out before God and bring ourselves before him. Bring our secret sins in the light of his countenance in Psalm 90. Yes. And then anyone hearing my voice and not yet a believer, we persuade, we incur, beseech you, we plead with you. We say, come on. Come on, jump on board. Believe in Jesus with all your heart. He will save you. He will fill you with the Spirit and teach you. Amen.